Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer, and I'm the director of Northwestern University's Infrastructure Technology Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Tom Herman.
The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it.
Energy efficiency has been improving significantly in recent decades in the United States, according to the Rocky Mountain Institute. If electric energy productivity, that is the efficiency with which we use electricity, had remained constant since 1970, the country would have consumed more than twice as much energy to meet its electricity needs in 2007 than it actually did. However, the U.S. still wastes a lot of energy. We've got a long way to go, but we are making progress.
But this progress isn't uniform. Electric productivity in some states is markedly better than others. The details of this inconsistency and the reasons for it are examined in a report called Assessing the Electric Productivity Gap and the U.S. Efficiency Opportunity. This was prepared by the Rocky Mountain Institute, an independent nonprofit organization in Colorado dedicated to research in many areas related to energy efficiency. The report focuses on the end users of electricity, industrial plants, commercial facilities, and other uses in the states, and how productive they are in the use of electricity. We have with us to discuss this report today one of its authors, Matthias Bell, who is an electricity practice consultant with the Rocky Mountain Institute. Glad to have you with us today, Matthias.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your study? What were your objectives and how did you go about fulfilling them?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we were beginning this report, we were working with this talking point that everyone hears about California compared to the rest of the U.S., and that's over the past 25, 30 years, California's electricity consumption per capita has stayed more or less constant, or you could say flat, while the rest of the country has risen dramatically, something around 50% since 1980. So with that in mind, we wanted to see how all the states were doing, not just California and the rest of the country. And what we did was analyze, like you said, the electric productivity, which is indicated by GDP, and the GDP and electricity consumption. And from that, we came up with a ranking of the states. And what's important for us to do as well, rather than just looking at that number by itself, is also look at some of the factors that are attributed to California and some states doing so much better than others, one being the climate, and then two being the economic composition, both which type of industries are in the state, whether a state has more energy-intensive sectors like cement or metal refinery, as well as what's the basic split down between the commercial sector and the industrial sector, because like you would assume, something like a state like New York with a large finance sector is going to have a higher GDP per kilowatt hour than a state that doesn't have much real estate or finance.
Why did you feel that a report like this was important to do?
At Rocky Mountain Institute, we're very focused on advancing resource productivity and energy efficiency, and we felt that making the information much more clear that some states were doing significantly better than others was going to be a powerful message. What we say from the report, and it makes people's jaws drop, is that if the rest of the country were able to perform at the level of the top 10 states, at the level that the top 10 states are performing today, we would see a significant drop in countrywide electricity consumption, around 60%, which is equivalent to 1.6 million kilowatt hours. What does that mean? It's about 60% of the U.S. coal consumption.
So let me try to get something clear. Are you looking at cross-sectional data, a snapshot, or are you looking at trend data over time?
So this was just a snapshot, and some of our colleagues at NRDC have looked at doing a time series analysis to see what states are doing the best over the past 10, 15, 20 years. It's not much of a surprise. California, again, has done a significantly good job. Some states in the Pacific Northwest, where they've had very, very cheap electricity and not much incentive to save, over the past 20, 25 years, as they faced capacity shortages with hydro, have done a great job in terms of reducing their electric productivity as well. But yes, this report itself was just a snapshot, and It's by no means the perfect report. I don't think anybody at RMI or any of our reviewers felt, oh, we saw this and this, everything's perfectly clear. It was more along the lines of giving people an idea of what the magnitude was for this gap between the leaders and the laggards.
Was this the first report to compare electric productivity across states?
No, there's been a couple others. There was one done by the RAND Corporation, and then a couple professors at Berkeley. Max Hoffenheimer is the principal author on another investigation. But it was surprising to us, given the amount of data that's available with states' energy consumption and states' GDP consumption, that more economists or public policy analysts hadn't done more work with this data.
And you mentioned that some of the states where electricity was inexpensive had done less to promote efficiency until they hit some kind of crunch. What were the other reasons that you found for the differences between states that were at the top of the efficiency list and states that were at the bottom?
There's just generally been much more public policy focus around making sure that energy efficiency is happening. One word we use is just having the proper infrastructure in place from a much more social science perspective. If you look at the top states, there's a high correlation between utility program budgets, where billions of dollars are being invested by utilities into energy efficiency. There's also much more advanced codes and standards than in the laggard states. And it's not just because having those codes and standards in place, but having high compliance rates with those codes and standards. Having said that, though, it's astounding to us when we're going through the more qualitative assessment of why this is happening, and that you look at the bottom 10, 15 states, and they don't have building codes in many of them, which is something that is pretty easy to enact and could substantially lead to improved electric productivity performance moving forward.
So can you get a little bit more specific? Give me some examples of states that are the most efficient and the least efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. Going through the report, New York and California are at the top of the list. A couple others that might surprise you include Colorado, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Delaware. Washington, D.C. Also has done a pretty good job with their own utility programs and their own little region. But and like I said, there's certainly a correlation between different indicators of success for energy efficiency and this metric that we have of electric productivity.
So what states have not been performing as well?
Mostly in the Southeast. States like South Carolina, Alabama, Kentucky, Mississippi, a couple others on that list are Montana and Wyoming. Like I said, there's a couple factors involved. One is cheap electricity rates. There's no doubt that having cheap power is going to drive less energy efficiency. But in terms of other policies and actions that states can do to bump these numbers up, they haven't done very much in that regard either. And if you were to look at an assessment of where there is energy efficiency that's available, that's economic, the distribution is pretty universal. These states could easily reduce their own energy consumption by 20 to 30% over the next 15 to 20 years without any problem.
To what extent is efficiency or lack of efficiency correlated with climate? I mean, particularly in the Southeast, they use a lot more air conditioning than we may use in the Northeast.
Yeah, and that was something that we wanted to consider with our analysis. So like I said at the beginning, we did normalize the numbers, or we adjusted the numbers. And that was one factor we took into account, is the climate. It's certainly a driver. And what we did with that was we did modeling of different buildings and asked ourselves, if you place this building in Alabama and just moved it over to California, how much would its electricity consumption change? And it's significant. It's in the order of 30 or 40%. But once you make those adjustments, there's still this large disparity between these leaders and these laggards.
You've several times referred to the states at the bottom of the list as laggard states. Do you refer to them as that in your report, and is there any risk of making those states feel bad?
I think what we're trying to do here is really try to serve as a catalyst, providing everyone with information and making them want to do things. Calling these states a laggard, perhaps not the most polite way to refer to them, but it's true. There's many things that they can do to get this ball rolling, and some of these states at the bottom are starting to do that. I think Arkansas is an excellent example of a state that's recognized there's this efficiency opportunity. It's affecting both their manufacturing industries as well as job creation numbers, and they're doing their best to do something. Other states, and it's a question that practitioners in this area ask all the time, is what can we do to get them moving? There's so many benefits to doing more energy efficiency, mostly from this energy cost savings perspective, but it does a lot for improving your local and state economies, and they're just not budging. And to refer to them as a laggard, I don't think that's the worst term that you could call them.
If you had the opportunity to address the policymakers, let's say from the 10 bottom laggard states, and they were, in this case, let's say they were motivated, pencils ready, listening to the advice that you had to give them, what would be your advice to them to improve energy efficiency in their states?
I think one of the most common ways to address this issue is aligning the utility incentives to sell energy efficiency. Currently, utilities in these states are paid for building power plants and then selling electricity, and any efficiency they do hurts their bottom line. And what a lot of the states at the top of this list have done is they've reversed those incentives so that utilities do make money when they sell energy efficiency. That's the first big step. After that, it gets into some other private sector initiatives that you can do, such as incentives to bring energy service companies into the area, also known as ESCOs, there's several different policies to do that. The third arm is much more policy focused, and that involves building codes and standards. Some people see codes and standards as the government getting in the way, but there's a lot of businesses that advocate strongly for building codes and standards because it ensures that everybody is meeting a certain line of quality, and no one is going to be ripped off by having a building that's built for them that's underperforming.
You had mentioned that in some of the states that were successful, they had succeeded in shifting that incentive, and it's intuitively easy to understand the incentive of them to be paid for building a plant and selling as much electricity as possible. That makes sense. That's a conventional model for business. But how have the states that are successful, what kind of regulations have they used to change the incentive for the utility?
The most common and most effective, at least the proponents would argue, is decoupling with a shared savings model. And how decoupling works differently is that utilities are, rather than it being based on the rates themselves, it's a hard concept to convey in just a couple seconds.
Okay.
The way the decoupling model works is that the electric utility is paid for providing energy services, and they become indifferent to the number of kilowatt hours being sold.
And does that make them less of a private and more of a public institution?
No, they still have this. Essentially, what they're getting paid for is providing energy services rather than just electricity. So they have to work hard to meet certain performance targets around energy efficiency. And a company like Pacific Gas and Electric, I don't think is any more tied into regulation than a company like Southern Company. They're all working with this social compact between regulators and themselves that they get to have a monopoly to some degree as long as they're providing good and fair service to all their customers.
So let me say this back to you and see if I have a reasonable understanding of your approach. If I run a business that manufactures widgets and I find a way to manufacture them with a lot less electricity, I save money and the utility doesn't get that revenue. And it sounds like the direction you're going in is to find a way to share that savings between the customer and the utility so the utility has an incentive to participate in the increasing efficiency.
Absolutely.
When, let's say you once again had this group of laggards in front of you, and let's say in this case they're not all on board, how do you make the case? What's the case that you make to them for the benefits to their state in improving electricity productivity? Is it advantageous for their economy? What other benefits? How do you sell it to them in the first place?
I think, yeah, it's a really good question. And like I said, once you have this entrenched culture, it becomes difficult to listen to others. But absolutely, efficiency advocates and proponents throughout the country are saying, one, this is really good for jobs and job creation. There's never going to be a case where you're going to outsource an insulation job. That's one that has to be done here. And there's no other alternative. The other issue is just it increases the competitiveness of your private sector entities by paying less for their energy. What they get to do is invest in more infrastructure, into more more plants, more people, and that's generally a really good thing for the local and state economies.
So that's something that states could use when they're trying to attract or keep businesses in their state, is saying that this is an advantageous place to do business because of the energy efficiency practices that we have.
For sure.
But yet, if my widget business is moving into this state, what it says is that I have to participate in this program. It's that is that everybody else is saving energy is not the point. The point is that I need to save energy, and that produces a benefit for my business. Is that reasonable?
For sure. Well, there's two different groups that are going to benefit. One are the firms that are making the widgets. There's going to be a larger market for them, and they're going to do well, and that's a great thing. But there's also just for the building owners and facilities managers that are looking to reduce their operating costs.
In the study that you did you look at, or did you include residential consumers as well?
Yeah, and that's an important issue, and it's another sector with a unique set of barriers and its own challenges.
Did you, when you looked at states, did you find more difference between states, or did you find a great difference within states when you looked at different industries, larger and smaller industries? Was there more difference within states, or was there more difference between the states?
There is more difference between the states. I think one thing that was surprising to us was if you categorize the different types of industries by low intensity, medium intensity, and high intensity, even though the fabric of the industrial mix in each state is very different, a lot of the states have a pretty similar distribution between the low, medium, and high intensity of about 33%. That was somewhat surprising to us. While one state might have a steel refinery, another one's going to have a pulp and paper manufacturing facility that uses a lot of energy.
So you found across the states they seem to have just about equally divided a third between states that uses, between industries that use a lot of power, a medium amount, and relatively little amount.
Mm-hmm. There's a pretty similar balance, but it's not perfectly uniform, and we did adjust for that factor.
So I wonder if, from the point of view of affecting change, if the state is the right level of aggregation to look at, as opposed to, say, targeting particular kinds of businesses or particular utilities or particular regions?
I think, yeah, there's many different ways. If you're looking to solve this problem, there's many different ways to cut it. And I think having a package of solutions for each different way of looking at it's very good. I think states are one possible target, because each state in the country has its own regulations around electricity. There's not this, a regional body that can influence energy efficiency investment by the utilities in the same way that state regulators and their public utility commissions can. So that's one effective, that's one reason we like states a lot. But like you said, working with the real estate industry on reducing the energy consumption of commercial buildings is really important. Working with steel refineries on how to incorporate more efficient technologies there is also really powerful. And there's different groups working with different industries and different states to try to take on this huge problem.
What's your vision for the future? What would you like to see happen in the development of, you know, you had mentioned if all the states performed as the highest, we'd have 60% less energy use across the country. What's your vision for how we get there?
Well, one, I think it's important to keep pushing in those leader states, and they are. You look at a state like California and what their goals are for the next 20 to 30 years. California has recently enacted a mandate that all new buildings are going to be net zero energy by 2020. Another state like Massachusetts is really pushing its utilities and other private sector actors to invest in energy efficiency because it's going to improve their state's competitiveness or ability to compete in a global economy. So pushing in the leader states is a good thing. Moving those laggard states along is something we all acknowledge that needs to happen, and it's going to take patience. But things that do need to happen, one is getting these utility incentives straight, and there is good progress on that front. I think something else that's important is just increasing our culture's awareness of energy consumption. Many, many people don't have any idea what uses electricity and how much. There's a survey that came out not long ago, I believe 6 months ago, that said that people generally overestimate the electricity consumption of their appliances by 300 to 400%. And if we're really going to take this issue on, people are going to have at least a better understanding of how they consume energy and electricity. And the third issue is bringing the best ideas from other businesses into this space. People have long believed that energy cost savings alone would be a powerful motivator for people to act on energy efficiency. But there's many reasons why that's not happening. There's a long list of barriers for a person like you guys or me to invest in energy efficiency, let alone a private business. And what we need to do there is take ideas from a company like Google or Amazon or even the salesmanship of something like Mary Kay and bring that into this energy efficiency business, this energy efficiency arena, and really get cranking on this problem. This is an opportunity for a lot of entrepreneurship and trying to attract entrepreneurs into this space. And the path hasn't been easy, but there's hope moving forward.
So it sounds like education and marketing will be a big part of the solution to this problem.
No question.
So what's been the reaction to your study so far?
The people in states that do well like it, and the people in states that don't do well generally don't like it. I think the simplest way of saying it. We were working with a utility in the Southeast, and we brought out this study. We were helping them improve their energy efficiency programs, and they saw that and told us 12 different reasons why we were wrong. And it's like, well, you should read their report and actually see what we're trying to say. And after reading it, they sort of hemmed and hawed and like, I think these RMI people do have a point here.
Okay, so that's a good basis for going forward. We really appreciate the time that you spent with us to help us understand both the issues and the opportunities in front of us. We thank you very much, and we'll look forward to more studies and more action along these lines from the Rocky Mountain Institute. So thank you very much, Matthias.
Great. Thanks you so much. It's been a pleasure.